Well, it's my privilege here today to have on BPN Radio a man that has been my friend for over 30 years, and it's great to have David Shibley here today. And he's one of the great missionary statesmen in America, and David is president and founder of Global Advance, an international ministry that has equipped more than 350,000 church and business leaders in 80 nations of the world. Acknowledged as a missionary statesman, he speaks frequently in conferences throughout America and the world. He hosts the syndicated program World Watch with David Shibley. David has written 15 books, and I believe is one of the great authors in our nation. He's been married more than 35 years. He's a graduate of John Brown University in Arkansas, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, received an honorary doctorate from Oral Roberts University. So on BPN Radio today, David, I want to welcome you, David Shibley.
Thank you, Dale. What a joy to join you and the others who are joining us to lift our hearts together before the Lord this morning.
Well, every day I pray for divine appointments, divine connections, and I certainly believe that you are a divine appointment, divine connection in my life, and I really appreciate you and your wife, Naomi. The work that you have been doing over the years, particularly in the area of missions, and I know that God has really put that in your heart. Today I want to talk in a few moments about your book about heaven, living as if heaven matters. But why don't you just share a little bit about with our listening audience today, the people that are praying with us here today. Just talk a little bit about your background and how God put the world in your heart, and then we'll go from there.
Well, thank you, Dale, and let me just say how grateful all of us are listening today to you for your obedience to the Holy Spirit, following His direction in amassing this great prayer force for our nation and for the world, and for your leadership in the prayer movement through the years. We're deeply appreciative and grateful to you for simply saying yes to Jesus and following through.
Yeah, thank you. I'm
so thankful that the Lord has given me the privilege of investing a good majority, really, of my life for world evangelization. But the roots go way back, Dale. My dad pastored a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that gave 50% of every offering straight to missions from the very first offering they ever received. The Lord had put that in my father's heart. And even though he himself seemed to be providentially hindered from ministering internationally, the only time he was overseas was when he served in the Second World War in the Pacific. But he had this great heart for the world, and he would make statements like this. This one particularly really impacted me. He said, "Missions involvement is not sentimental philanthropy. It's just an honest man paying his debt." And, of course, he was basing that on Romans 1:14, where Paul said, "I'm a debtor to Greeks, to barbarians, to wise, to unwise, so as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel."
Yeah.
And my dad carried that heart. Sometimes I would awaken in the middle of the night, hear him praying for missionaries by name, for nations by name, for the needed funds for projects. So it was a great mission heritage. Both of my folks served on the founding board of the ministry of T.L. and Daisy Osborne. In fact, their ministry actually began in our home in 1949.
Wow.
So great mission heritage, and I'm forever grateful for that. But my own journey on that, when in 1981, when I took my first trip to India, and I've been there almost, I think, 38 times now. But my first trip there, when I saw the vastness of the need, the fact that Jesus, the Scripture says, has tasted death for every person, but that isn't actualized in the life of a person until they repent and come to saving faith in Christ, And when I saw the vastness of the need, the openness of people to the gospel around the world, it really galvanized everything in me. And so I've had the privilege over the years. I've been to 65 nations. The Ministry of Global Advance has been in 94 nations of the earth now.
Amazing.
And the figures that you gave, I appreciate that. But I'm very grateful to tell you those numbers have literally doubled, and we've given on-site training now to over 700,000 leaders in these 94 nations, challenging them to be catalysts for the fulfilling of the Great Commission.
Wow.
That the Lord gave us to preach the gospel to every person, to make disciples of all the nations. So it's just a joy. I'm grateful for what the Lord is doing. My head isn't in the sand. I know very well, particularly having traveled as much as the Lord has privileged me to do, I know very well the crisis in our world today. However, the gospel is greater, and the Great Commission is still in effect. The missionary Amy Carmichael called it the Great Unrepealed Commission, and we are still under orders to get the gospel to every person on earth, make disciples of all the nations, and that's what my life is about, and I'm so thankful for that.
Well, I know, David, that you've been very focused concerning that and the world. And of course, I've set myself in agreement with many other people concerning revival in America and other spiritual awakening. But I do know that the Lord said that my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. And I know that as we pray for a revival in America and other spiritual awakening, that we certainly cannot ignore the nations of the world. And so right here in my studio, I have a globe of the world, and I know that the Global Advance is about the world. And so we must be praying not only for America, but we must be praying for the nations of the world. And I know that God has set the world in your heart. And so what is happening, and what are you hearing? What is going on concerning the nations of the world?
Well, you know, let me just say, Dale, that what you said just now is so important for the American church to realize, that the times of the greatest blessing of God upon this nation have run parallel to the times when the church in this nation has been most obedient to the Great Commission. And the more we obey, the singular thing that the Lord left for us to do, the more his blessing comes upon our own nation as well. And of course, we don't discount the fact that the United States is one of the massive mission fields of the world now.
Right.
We're not only the church in America has been the primary missionary sending force in the 20th century. That's going to change now in the 21st century. But it used to be that we had sending nations and receiving nations. Now, the new reality in missions is it's from everywhere to everywhere. And we have large numbers of people coming to the U.S. as well as missionaries. But God is doing great things. The church is moving rapidly. And part of the reason, I believe, for the rise of radicalism, not only in Islam, but also in Hinduism, in India, and the church suffering very severe persecution right now in several pockets of India. The reason for that is not because of the failure of the church, but because of the success of the church, and because these other religions feel threatened by the very rapid growth of the church in many nations of the world. And in fact, they are threatened. Jesus threatens every system that will not bow to his lordship. And so we are seeing, in the midst of very obvious growing hostility to the gospel around the world, including our own nation.
Right.
In the midst of that, we're seeing a tremendous coming to Christ. I'm very encouraged that there seems to be a new emphasis on evangelism and on reaching the lost here in our own country. But, for instance, just in one nation, I won't name the nation, but in one predominantly Muslim nation, within the last couple of years, there are at least 1 million, possibly as many as 4 million folks who have been Islamic through their lives, Muslims who have turned in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And that is happening in many areas of the world now. And so it's not all dark out there by any means. God is doing great things. The wheat and the tares are growing up together, just as Jesus said that would happen. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thrilled to be a light bearer of the gospel and to continue to carry the light of Christ to the nations of the earth and challenge everyone I know who is in Christ to do the same.
Oh, that's great. And so how can we pray for the nations? How, as people here on the Breakout Prayer Network pray for nations of the world, how can we specifically pray?
Well, I think there are two or three things. You know, the Apostle Paul said, he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly, that it might spread rapidly and be honored everywhere we go. And so we need to pray for openness, not only an open door to preach the gospel, but open hearts to receive the gospel. I think that's number one. Number two, to pray for courage for our fellow brothers and sisters around the world. We get little hints of it here. I mean, and we call it persecution. It's by no means persecution compared to some other areas of the world.
Right.
But this pressure just to shut up, just to be silent about Jesus. That's the name that is the line of demarcation of hostility for many people.
Right.
But when we come in the right spirit with the gospel of Christ, there will be many who will believe. And so I think we need to pray for boldness for brothers and sisters around the world. And then, of course, the Bible says that we're to pray for those who are being oppressed for the sake of the gospel. So, you know, there are pastors who this very day have been in prison for a long time simply for the proclamation of the gospel.
Right.
And, of course, many believers have lost their lives. In fact, last year there was a strong uptick in the number of people around the world who gave the ultimate sacrifice for their faith in Jesus. So I would say those three things in particular. We need to pray for open hearts for the gospel. We need to pray for boldness for believers around the world, and peace and protection for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering persecution. But all of this is on a bedrock of something else. We need to be doing exactly what you're doing every day, and that is praying for a great sweep of the Spirit, a fresh renewal of the Holy Spirit to come in our own nation and around the world that will open millions of hearts to the gospel. We think of what the Lord did in the Jesus movement here when kids who had everything but Jesus on their mind, suddenly their lives were dramatically transformed by this gracious sweep of the Spirit that we experienced several decades ago. And we need to be praying for that same thing today.
Well, I agree. And just a few moments, David, I want you to pray whatever you have in your heart, your spirit. And if people want to get involved in Global Advance, people that have a heart for missions, I know some people have a heart for the world, how can they get involved? How can churches be involved? You might just want to share that information right now.
Well, thank you, Dale. And, of course, first of all, the support we need most is the support of what your listeners do best, and that's to pray. So please pray for us. Our teams go into very volatile areas. I won't name the nations, but already this year we have had two church planting training teams on the ground in two of the most gospel-resistant areas of the world. And, of course, every time our teams go out, there is the potential for danger. And I'm very thankful to give all glory to the Lord that over 24 years, we're now entering our 25th, that all of our teams have returned safely. So, of course, number one, pray. And then for those that the Holy Spirit speaks to partner with us financially, and we certainly need that, and would be grateful for partnership of anyone listening, I would encourage them to go to globaladvance.org, find out a little more about the ministry of Global Advance, and then just give as the Holy Spirit directs. You can give online, or the mailing address is there on our website as well.
Globaladvance.org. Well, that's great. I encourage anybody listening to support your ministry. And is God still calling people to the mission field today?
Absolutely. And even though the emphasis of Global Advance is in training national leaders, there's also a massive need for missionaries to be sent, not only from this nation, but from all of the churches of the world. Again, from everywhere to everywhere. But I think it's very important for people to hear this cross-cultural call and to remember that our Lord has indeed commissioned us. And, you know, some people quickly write off this whole issue of mission, saying, well, I'm not called to be a missionary. It is true that I think that is a gifting and a calling from God that not every believer has, to be a career cross-cultural missionary. But we are all called to missions.
Yeah.
We're called to some level of involvement in getting the gospel beyond ourselves to others who haven't heard.
Well, I certainly believe that, and I'm going to have you to pray however the Holy Spirit leads you. You know, we have 28 nations, David, that are praying with us right now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Here on BPN Radio, and we can we have a globe that we can check on and check the nations that are praying with us here, and it's just amazing that we have people in different parts of the world, including China, that are praying with us. So why don't you just lead us in prayer, and then after you get through, we're going to talk a little bit about heaven. I'm so glad to have you on. If you're listening to BPN Radio, I'm here with David Shibley, and from Rockwall, Texas, my longtime friend. And so, David, why don't you just say a prayer, however the Holy Spirit leads you, and we'll just set ourselves in agreement, those that are listening to the broadcast today.
Father, we want to thank you that we can come directly into the very nerve center of the universe by the new and living way that Jesus, your Son, has opened for us. We thank you, Father, that there's no distance now between us and you, because the veil has been torn, and direct access is now made to you through the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, we do come boldly today to the throne of grace, because we know we're coming in your will. We know that we're coming as your children. And, Father, we thank you for the great, precious promises. You've urged us to call upon you, and that you will answer us and show us great and mighty things. Lord Jesus, you have said that if we ask anything in your authority, in your name, you will do it, so that the Father will be glorified and that you will be glorified. And so, Father, we ask for what we know is dear to your heart, and that's that your Son would be known and loved and lavishly worshipped, radically obeyed by redeemed men and women out of every tribe, every language, every people. So, Father, today, in concert with my brothers and sisters listening literally around the world, Lord, we lift our hearts and we lift our voices to you, and we ask for a gracious, worldwide sweep of your Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, that you would tear away the crust of hardened hearts, and that you would soften hearts to the gospel. We ask, Lord, as Paul prayed, that the word of the Lord would run swiftly, and that the gospel would be glorified everywhere that it goes. We pray, Lord, for major advances for the gospel this very day.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, that you would open up new people groups that have long been resistant to the gospel. Father, let the gospel get in. And, Lord, we believe you that the gospel is going to take hold and the churches will be planted.
Yeah.
Father, we pray for the protection of believers around the world, and that you would grant to all of us boldness, just as the early church prayed Grant us boldness that we might speak your word. Stretch forth your hand to heal, that mighty signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And so, Father, for these things, we trust you and we thank you today that even in the midst of a darkening world, the light of the gospel is shining brighter than ever. And so, Lord, we thank you for your promise that ultimately the kingdoms of this world are all going to topple and bow to the lordship of Jesus, and that he will reign over all the earth. We give you glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I set myself in agreement with you, David.
Amen.
I believe that the Lord heard your prayer, and we set ourselves in agreement with you. On a more personal note, you have written many books, and of course you are one of my favorite authors. I believe that you're one of the great authors in our nation, and you've written many great books, and one of my favorite, of course, is Great for God. I plagiarized your book on several occasions in churches and ministering that Great for God. How can people find your books? Where are your books sold?
Well, they're sold on Amazon.com and also ChristianBook.com, and all of the titles that are in print are available through those two outlets. There are other outlets on the web where the books can be purchased, but I would mention those two in particular. And thank you for mentioning Great for God. Those are just inspiring stories of ordinary men and women who just kept saying yes to Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's 23, I think 24 profiles of some men and women who did great exploits for the kingdom of God. It's very inspirational, very encouraging, and, you know, discouragement, particularly among pastors, is a major concern today.
Right.
And so I would really encourage people to pick up this book that I know will encourage and fortify them. It's just called Great for God, and it's available through ChristianBook.com, Amazon, and several other places. Or you could call Global Advance, and we can get that resource to you as well.
Well, I certainly encourage everybody to buy the book, Great for God. And also, in conclusion today, I want us to talk a little bit about your book on heaven. And this has just been in my spirit now for several weeks about heaven. And I know that you wrote a great book, but I want to know from your perspective why most pastors are not preaching about heaven today, and why so few Christians are talking about heaven. I remember my dad was a preacher also, and I remember as a boy that there were continuous sermons and talks about heaven and songs written about heaven and people talking about going to heaven.
Right.
And that is diminished over the years. Do you have an answer for that?
Well, I think at least I know a couple of factors that have factored into heaven being put on the back burner. I think number one has been the general secularization of our nation, and the church has by no means escaped that, and that we have opted for ministering to, quote, felt needs more than looking at life through the prism of an eternal perspective. But I would submit that if we're really going to be biblical Christians, and if we're going to have real biblical hope, we need to go back to an emphasis on eternity.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither.
Right.
And that's a very important statement. I think the other reason is because we believed the lie that if we emphasize heaven, that's somehow going to immobilize us and that people will just get in spiritual rocking chairs waiting for Jesus to come back and won't be redemptively active in the world today.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's the opposite that it's true. We've taken these little slogans invented by unbelievers, and we've believed them ourselves. Slogans like, well, that guy's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Dale, I want to tell you, I've never met one person like that.
Right.
What I have met is a lot of folks who had heaven front and center in their hearts, looking for the blessed hope and of the return of Christ, that made them very active, present tense, in the world today. And so, you know, to me, everything in my life galvanizes around a single event that's coming, and that's the judgment seat of Christ, when as believers we're going to stand before the Lord. And it's not a litmus test of whether we get into heaven or not. That is settled by the blood of Christ. If we've fully placed our faith in the Lord Jesus, turned from our sins, committed our lives to Christ as Savior and Lord, that I'm not saved because of what I do. I'm saved because of what He has done.
Right.
He said, "It is finished." So it's not about whether we get to heaven or not that is the big issue for me. The issue for me is how am I going to fare when I give an account of my life to Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ? The Bible talks about those who, though they are in heaven because they have the right foundation of faith in Christ, they're going to suffer loss. They'll have no eternal rewards, nothing to lay back at the feet of Jesus, not as a payment for salvation, but in gratitude. Believe me, you and I are going to want something in our hands that heaven says has eternal value, that we can bring before the Lord in an oblation of worship in gratitude to God for so great salvation.
Right.
So there's an old hymn that we long ago stopped singing, but it says, "Must I go and empty-handed thus my dear Redeemer meet? Have no crowns to lay before Him, lay no trophies at His feet." And so the emphasis of my life now, Dale, the focus, is I want to hear Jesus give His stamp of approval, His "well done," over my life. And the Scriptures speak very clearly about crowns of rewards that are available to believers. And again, I want to make it clear, you don't earn your way to heaven, but these rewards, once you are a believer, have very clear criteria for how you receive these rewards. So that's what I'm aiming for. I want crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus. Crown Him with many crowns, as the old hymn says.
Well, I certainly believe that, and I've used your quote on this broadcast several times, that everything that we do, we must do in the light of eternity. And I know this life is only temporary, but it just seems like that so many people, including Christians, today seemingly are just living a life as if this is heaven, this is their heaven, and not living their life in the light of eternity. And so I'm so thankful that you wrote this book. And the people that may be listening may want to know where heaven is. Where is heaven?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Here at heaven, of course, the bottom line answer is heaven is where God is. Heaven is where His Son is, the Lord Jesus. And He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, the Bible says.
Yes.
But Scripture teaches that there is a city coming, the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And all the study I've done, and what I think most Bible scholars would agree, is that this is a literal floating city of roughly 1,500 miles cubed that is going to hover over the earth one day, and that, of course, because of our glorified state, we'll have immediate access between heaven and a new earth that the Lord is going to purge and make new, and that we are going to rule and reign with him if, right now, the Bible says, we'll reign with him if we suffer with him. The Greek word is sympatheo. If we're in total concert, in total sympathy with his cause in the earth, that is the criteria for reigning with him later.
Well, I believe that, and I would encourage everybody also to get your book, Living as If Heaven Matters, Preparing Now for Eternity. It's a great book because we don't have many books on heaven and eternity. David, thank you for being on the broadcast today on BPN Radio. You're a tremendous blessing, and I hope to have you back soon.
Well, thank you again, and the blessing of the Lord on you and this wonderful new outreach. What a privilege to join with you together and to petition the Lord for his mercy on our nation and for real revival in the earth.
Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you, Dale. Okay. God bless you.
Bye.